Hello and welcome back to the Car Guy Coffee Podcast. This brew has been brought to you by our friends at Dealership Toolkit, Petra Automotive Products, M1 Data and Analytics, BenQ, Fix Ops Marketing, and 321 Ignition. You can get more information about our sponsors, us, some swag, and some Car Guy Coffee by going to carguycoffee.com. Let's brew! What's going on, car guys and car gals? Check out who's brewing solutions with us today. Oh, we are so excited to be here this morning. I am Lou Ramirez, the car guy.
And I'm Frelin Arts, the subprime hero.
And we are brewing solutions on a very, very, very special episode. This is the first one back. And look at that, folks. I mean, we have to announce it to everybody that today we got more. That's it.
We got more. We're just going to keep bringing more and more and more. And we got him here in the house today. Man, I'm pumped up. I'm excited. This show's going to be fire. We are kicking off season 3 of the Car Guy Coffee Podcast with our good friend, somebody I got to meet and hug and share the energy from. And he's so infectious with what he has to bring and his energy that he talks about. When he's on a stage, he lights it up. This guy's been in the likes of, he's been on TEDx. He's been to Google. He's been all over the place. Gary Vaynerchuk's meetings. I mean, come on. This guy's been all over the place helping people get to that next level. In his mind, I'm going to tell you, this guy is amazing. He has ways that he can just shape things and make things better. And he just allows it. He takes his hands off the wheel, as he says.
Like a true solutionary. We are pumped up to be able to be brewing solutions with you all. So do us a favor so that we can make sure that we get this to as many people that need it as possible. Tag a car guy. Mm. Tag a car gal.
Yes.
And share.
Share, 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 share. Share.
Get Man, that out there.
Sharing is folks. Caring, folks. This is season 3. Let's kick this thing off. We got some people already jumping in right now. I say that's a pretty dope start. Appreciate that. We got welcome. We got my man, Russell Hollywood Hill. Yay. Welcome back. More. That's right. You know the deal. We got it going, man. And we're going to keep it moving and grooving. We got somebody special that we're going to bring to the cafe today. We're going to hit them with a five liner. You guys know the five liner. That's been our format for the last 2 seasons. It's been what we've been doing. We've been sharing and uplifting people's stories so that the people in this world know how great automotive is and how great people are in this business. This business has brought a lot of opportunity for folks. And sometimes there's been people in this business who brought a lot of bad vibes, right? We're trying to eradicate that right now. We're trying to make sure that people see the good, the light in this business, because there's a lot of light in this business. And that starts with this guy we're talking about today, Mr.
Oh, well, are we going to do it now? We're going to welcome him in. Listen, folks, you better go ahead and get your friends in here, because this is about to be really some piping hot Car Guy Coffee for you to kick
I'm
off.
I'm over here
this
sharing
next
as
season.
Much as I can
so let's
right
get
now.
This rocking around. Make sure that you're sharing it around. But we are going to welcome the one.
The only
Mr. Dan Moore.
What's up,
brother? Hey,
what is up, fellas? Man, you guys just know how to light it up. I mean, I hope I can deliver. You guys set the bar. I mean, I was like here, and then you went here, and I'm like, whoo, we're going to fly today, guys.
That's right.
Yeah, we always do, man. We're going to keep flying. And that's the first thing we're going to do, actually. We're going to drop some F-bombs in this building, right?
That's right.
And these are 3 F-bombs that we love to – it's not filth, flam, flarm. It's not even close. It's forgive, focus, and fly, and keep growing, right? Lou, break down the forgive, focus, fly for everyone.
Well, we have to make sure that we wipe off the weight of unforgiveness, whether it's for somebody that's gotten in our way or ourselves for not living up to the expectations that we have on ourselves, right? And then we have freedom to take our hands, focus, put on the blockers, right? Not get distracted by the things that want to derail us from where we're going, and then we stretch out in faith. And we fly, and we keep growing. So together, we are going to forgive, focus, and fly together. It's kind of like our little dance, right?
Yeah,
it's also kind of like our rite of passage.
Secret handshake to get into this club. Yeah, so we're excited.
We have the incredible Dan Moore inside of the cafe today, and he is going to join the ranks of all those solutionaries that have risen up to fly on 3. Forgive, focus, fly with us. 1, 2, 3.
Forgive. I'm excited to share your story. I'm excited to ask you a few questions. We're going to start with our very first question we ask everyone first. What is your why? What drives you? What makes you motivated every day to be the best version of yourself?
Be intentional.
Mm.
because it encompasses so much. I mean, heck, I got off the TEDx stage talking about, is your why a lie, right? So this one, when you say, what is your why, near and dear to me, you know, a lot of times we can throw something out there and sometimes we've got to check ourselves and realize that, you know, what are we really chasing? Is that why really that why, right?
Yes.
And for me, it's about being intentional, because if you take that meaning of intentional, it has so much depth. The intention to spend time with your family and to be there, right? It's just kind of that guiding compass for me of everything I approach is, can I be intentional? Do I have the time? Do I have the ability? Do I have the strength? Do I have all those pieces to be intentional in those moments, whether it's with people, business, family? It just applies across the board. So that is my driving why.
I love that. And that's really at the core of it. I love that, because that's most, you know, most people, and I don't blame them, we all have that why, our families, this and that. But the being intentional, that's powerful.
Yeah, that family one's a strong one, brother. I mean, listen, that was, I say, is my why a lie? And my lie was a lie. I said family.
Yeah.
For the longest time, I was like, oh, my family. I got three amazing daughters, amazing wife. I'm like, oh, family.
Yes.
But the funny thing was, is I was so consumed with work and success and growth and all of that. Funny enough, if I'd ask my family, they would be like, well, we would rather have you home more. We'd rather have this. We'd have you, you know, be a part of things, because you're going nonstop. The phone's always in your way. Again, so when you start having a little dose of truth serum and looking in the mirror, you start breaking it down, you realize, man, my why might just be a lie. And you got to kind of, you got to soak it in and take it and go, I need to course correct.
That's it, man. And that's deep. But folks, that's what I'm talking about. Those are the type of answers I'm looking for right there. Something that deep. I understand. He's right. Your why can be a lie. We say those things because that feels right. We want our families to know we love them. That's why we think we work hard or we do these things. But a lot of it is inside of us is the drive to be better, to being intentional, to keep growing. Like I always say, I just want to keep growing. That's my drive. That's my why. If I don't, I don't know what I'm doing in life. That's what makes me happy. Right.
Or more importantly, just be a black sheep. No, I mean, listen, think about this, guys. Why do we say the things that we do? Because society aligns us to do it. Society tells you to go get a job, be loyal to the career, have a 401k, get married, have kids. We are pre-programmed. But we've never asked and been curious enough to go, why? Why is it we have to be that way?
Right.
Because that way may not be your way. And that's okay. So be the black sheep of your life.
Well, come on. And to echo you, it's your why could be a lie. You know, why you're doing what it is that you're doing could be completely a lie, right? And I'm a firm believer that you have to be committed to letting go of the lie in order to embrace the truth. And you can't carry that garbage and then catch the thing that is actually of value and of truth and true to you. And there's so much that goes into all of that. I love the philosophy on it. And folks, if you want to hear any of his actual time on the microphone, you need to reach out. You need to go look up Dan Moore. You will see the information. You will see where he's spoken.
It's everywhere.
But you have to make sure that you digest it. You put it in your cup and you sip on it. These truths are nothing unless you embrace them, car guys and car gals. And I love that we are starting off this next season with the question of, is your why a lie? And I absolutely, absolutely love that. And you bring that question from a different vantage point than most car guys. I believe that in a lot of cases, the biggest issue with the car business is that it's filled with car guys and car gals that haven't reshaped their thinking. They're consistently passing down the same mindsets, the same techniques, the same way of doing things. And you've come from a different perspective into the automotive industry. So we're asking here on the Car Guy Coffee Podcast the second question, the second line on this five liner, and that is, Dan Moore, how did you get to the automotive industry, for those that haven't done their research yet?
It's one of my favorite stories. So my stepdad was a car guy. Started out at 18, ran a dealership in California, went into the RV business. So, you know, it was funny, at 19, I kind of fell into the trap, and I went to start selling cars at 19 at a Mitsubishi dealership in Roseville. And I kind of sucked, I got to be honest. Everybody wants to tell the glory days of how many cars they sold and how great they were. Man, I was terrible. It took a while. I was young, thought I had it all figured out. Listen, it was all right. But the car business has been, again, a platform that, you know, I always say, if you want a core principle, just use the word never forget. Never forget where you came from. Never forget the people that helped you. Never forget the people that made an impact. When you live by that principle, it changes your mindset of not getting into that, you know, I kind of say that, you know, big boy status of where you forgot. You know, the industry has been a blessing. I mean, you want to learn confidence. You want to learn how to overcome, you know, rejection and objections. And I mean, there's no better place than this industry because it's going to teach you skills that just go into everything that you do in life.
Man.
And that is the blessing of the car business.
Facts. And 100%. And I love that you said that because it is. And we get it at a high pace. Mm-hmm. We have multiple customers a day if you're at the right place, right? You have so many opportunities to make mistakes to learn from. And you can really do it really fast. And as you grow, you make less and less mistakes. That's what's so beautiful about life. That's what we all do.
Yep.
And this business really translates really well that way to me. I think any business who has to do with people to people. It's about being a good human. It's about doing those things. But yes, it gives you opportunity to learn these things, learn these new skills, how to overcome objections. But when you realize they're not really objections, they're just complaints. People are just wanting to find a reason why or to slow things
down.
They're
not even complaints.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's the funny part.
I love it.
You haven't provided enough information to help them understand the decision they need to make.
Amen.
Come on. Oh, man.
A no isn't I don't want to. A no is I don't understand. I know is I haven't gotten the value. I'm not there yet. You need to spend a little bit more time with me. You need to ask me better questions.
That's it.
You need to be curious. You know?
I love that.
Man, I feel like you've been in one of our training.
It sounds like you were in our training session this morning. We have the B's of, you know, we talk about these are the B's, and one of them is be curious. Ask questions because they don't care until they know you care. Period, hands down. If you have to seek to understand in order to be understood. Mm-hmm. And these things
100%.
Are
great.
And when you do that and you have that with your clients and you ask those questions and you knock down all those walls because they're holding up all this guard because we are car people. They're holding up all these guards because they're scared or embarrassed to tell them what their truth is. But they've also been conditioned to not tell us the truth because they are told that we don't tell the truth. Mm-hmm. Well, we did that for a long time. We have to overcome that now. And I think that's great. And I think that's opportunity for us great salespeople who really love what they do, I should say, and go out and just be the best version so we can overlight all the darkness in this business. And that's something I know that you're talking about here. And those questions, being curious, powerful. Those two words, be curious, powerful.
Oh, 100%. I mean, as we get older, we lose that sense of curiosity. Curiosity becomes more of a, you know, a victim statement than it does a curiosity statement. We go from, you know, why is the sky blue? Why is it we ask all these great questions. So then we go, well, why is this happening to me? Mm-hmm. Why them? Why not me? Why this? Why? So again, it's such a deep one. But even back to what you guys were saying too, about making a mistake. Hey, listen, the only mistake that's made is the one you don't learn from.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Come on.
And the only failure there is that there's more. Listen, so many people get hung up on, well, I'm going to fail. Listen, fail all you want because that's where you learn the most. And it's not you should never be fear of failure. I'm more inclined to be fear of regret than I am of failure. I regret the fact I didn't try. I regret the fact I didn't do it. Failing, that means I learned something. That means whatever happened in that instance, I'm gaining knowledge. Mm-hmm. How much knowledge do you gain from winning? Yeah. And how much knowledge do you gain from losing? Did it make you a better player? Did it make you better at what you did? Think about the hills you've climbed in life and realize, hey, it ain't easy. There's no magic pill. There's no silver bullet. You got to go put in the work. And that's probably why, my TED talk was a punch in the face because it's just the truth of what I went through. It's not fun. I mean, I looked for all the easy ways. It didn't work.
Amen.
All the things didn't come into play until I actually started putting in the work, and my actions became more powerful than my words.
Come on. Come on.
So true.
Henry Ford said that you can't build a reputation off of what you're going to do, right? And being very clear and, like you said, intentional. You have to determine that you're going to point with intention in the direction that you're going to go. Because that's the only way that you're going to go there. You have to take the action, take the steps, and be intentional. And that's a superpower that we don't understand that we have inside of our hands because we can shift the mindset of a person just by a few words, right? We can shift the attitude inside of a room just by the energy that we decide to bring into it, right? And we can actually see peace be made just by utilizing a bit of intention inside of our conversations, whether it's in our homes, whether it's in our business, whether it's in our finances, right? Whatever the case is, if we point with intention, we are going to see results whichever way we are using that power. It could be for good. It could be for bad, right? And the important part is that we take this to not have a problem-making machine in our life, but we are consistently brewing solutions, finding a way to get better and to improve. No matter where it is in our life that we have access to, we should do that with intention. And there's a lot of people that I'm sure are picking that up from what it is that you're pouring out that are getting mentored close and to a far. So I'm going to pitch this up. Bam.
Whoa, right. So, and Lou, thank you for pitching that up to me. It's right on to the next question. And it's exactly right. You being able to be a speaker, you have been able to mentor people now. You have become the mentor. You were once a mentor and still are. I guarantee it. You still find motivation, inspiration through other people. You may even have somebody that you call that is your mentor. I know I do. I don't care how great I think I am. I could always be better. And there's always someone up there that's a week ahead of me, right? So I'm going to go look for that person. I'm going to feed with that person. I'm going to drink with that person. I'm going to, you know, we're going to break bread together because I want to learn as much as I can. As you've been coming up in this business, I know there's been a lot of people who've been able to pour into you. Yeah, I know your cup, you seem like a person who has an empty cup and you're always looking to be poured into, right? Who have been some of those people for you?
That's a long list, fellas, because I'll tell you this right now. Mentors, if you don't have a mentor, you need to get at least one.
Preach it.
You need to fill your bucket multiple different ways. It's not just about having a mentor that's just about success, right? Like, I mean, I've had great mentors, indirect and direct. But again, have them fill the house. I have, you know, mentors that help me around faith. I have mentors that help me around business, around family, around people I can just, you know, I have a tight circle of those that I can just go have a, you know, as I say, behind the walls, guard down, real conversation of like, hey, I'm exposing challenges that I'm going through in the season. And we can have those dialogue back together in a, you know, as we just say, safe group, if you will. There's so many, but I mean, to list some, it's, you know, Brian Pash has been a good, you know, partner and friend with Vista Dash in the beginning when I first joined, Grant Cardone, Gary Vaynerchuk. I've had some friends like Scott Simons, who's on here. I mean, we've had some great conversations. Chris Vester. I mean, there's so many people. I mean, Brad's been my buddy who we go out and eat a lot of barbecue with. And yes, cream corn's a thing.
I love it. Hey,
everybody has their kryptonite. You know, Arnold T. Arena, like, great friend in the beginning, great friend in the sense of challenged me to step outside my box. If you want to see Dan Moore in the beginning of his career, just Google Dan Moore Cartman. It's a thing. There's a lot of people that have played a hand in everything and just been friends that are just great conversations. Frank Lopes and I, best buds. We have some great conversations and dialogue on the phone. So again, I just say this, I kind of have what I call the random hour. I think that, you know, wherever your beliefs are, there is a power that puts people in your life. And I always say I have a random hour every day that someone fills. And in that hour, I know it, whether it's a call or something, and it's either, you know, a mutual kind of back and forth, or it's one-sided, whatever it might be. It's just that random hour of whether I help someone, we help each other or whatever. But I gotta say, you don't have to sit there and think because you're not at a certain point in life that you don't have an impact. Somebody needs to hear from you. You have wisdom. I'll tell you this right now. I will listen to anybody because I never want to be the smartest guy. Everybody has an idea or an opinion, and I want to absorb as much information as I can because it only makes me better.
Oh, I love that. And I that's exactly up my mantra. The last half of the year, the thing I said the most was all perspectives matter. I don't care how crazy they are. I want to hear them and I want to understand them because you might find something out of it that will blow your mind and make your mind click a different way. We're all so stuck in our own worlds, even though we may be on social media, we may do those things, but
we don't have enough diversity. I think we can keep adding diversity to our mindset, keep adding diversity to our network. And the more you can do that, the different views you can see, different ideas that'll come up. You know, you can find something from a software guy on how to sell something. The software guy could find something from who's a salesman on how to be able to do better on their, whatever they're trying to come up with, an idea that can plug, they could plug in that'll just change the whole game up. I see it all the time in this industry, which I love, but it takes
take it a step further though.
Oh, let me hear this.
Take it a step further.
Go for it.
Align, get someone in your group that doesn't align with you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
And have an open mind. Mm-hmm. Because in the end, you're going to find you have common ground, but you're going to learn so much more. You're going to learn how people tick. And I mean, again, that would probably solve a lot of issues we have in a bigger scale. But I got to tell you, if we would just sit back and use the thing we have most of, we, I love this one. We have 2 ears and a mouth.
Yes, right? Sir.
You have 2 ears for a reason. Listen more, talk less. And I'll tell you, there's so many smart people that if you're just not wanting to interact with them because you think they don't align with you or they rub you the wrong way or they don't, you're missing out on an opportunity. You're missing out on some great wisdom and so a different perspective to make you think and challenge your way of thinking. And there's nothing wrong with that.
And great 100%. Leaders have done that. In many countries, right? Whether it's a president in our country or a Winston Churchill, right? They would include people inside of their cabinet or in their close influence that have a polarizing view from the way it is that they think. And with that, you find a synergy, you find a common ground, you make better decisions. Can't agree with you any more than that, because there is so much that comes in when that other vantage point gets to drop its information. Gets to share that information. You get to see it from another angle, right? I mean, it doesn't matter if you're even towing something or carrying something, right? You want to communicate with the person on the other side of what you're carrying. Is that a good step there? Are you moving right? Watch out for this, right? Be careful. You want to make sure that that communication is happening, and you have to share from the perspective that you're at. Now, at your perspective, what I love about what it is that you do is that you still take the pains and you take the kinks inside of the armor and you make that for something better. You use that for good, right? We started off explaining that fail is a part of the process. Failing has to happen in order for you to get better in so many different cases. But in this case, I guess we're going to really try to figure out how you came out and what you learned out of your greatest lesson learned, your hardest lesson learned. What has been the hardest lesson Dan Moore has had to learn growing to where it is that you are today?
Oh, there's, I mean, listen, do you have like another couple hours to add to this
show?
Yeah,
plenty of time. We're actually doing a great time
now. We ought to unpack all my failures. Read my book. no, listen, there's a lot of things that you learn. I mean, in the beginning, listen, I was a manager, not a leader. I mean, it was very money focused. I figured I could throw money at every problem. There was so many different ways I just was approaching it in all the wrong manners. I learned that people are people and not one person's the same. So I had to approach and change how I looked at it as far as I need to be managing to them, not to me. And it took a long time to start learning those things and understanding that I needed to put more emphasis into not what I wanted to accomplish. I had a goal, I mean, but you figure out how to take your goal and put it into the people, meaning their goal to achieve based on their abilities, where you want them focused. But more importantly, you get them to draw to it, not you pointing them at it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one. Two, sometimes you gotta take the emotion out. It's easier said than done, but I mean, you gotta take your emotion out of things and you gotta realize that when you go into whether it's a meeting or personalities or whatever, just because you're having conflict, you gotta understand the conflict may not be you. And so sometimes you got to take a step back instead of going into the heat of battle heated. You've got to draw back and go, I'm going to sheathe the sword and I'm going to ask a few questions and I'm going to take this approach of just being disarmed to try and understand how we get to common ground. Because, again, I used to go into everyone. I mean, I went into everyone hot and heavy. Here's the sword. Let's go. 300 style, you know, like,
right.
I'm going to win. And sometimes winning is losing.
Wow.
And you gotta think about that. So, yeah, that one's there's a lot I can unpack on that one, guys.
You can keep on pouring it out there, brother, because I'm sure somebody is sipping on this.
No, man. It's so true, and they need to hear that. You know, it's we see a lot of people who maybe seem like they're on top of the mountain, right? You look at them, you're like, man, and then there's people who will say they got lucky. Oh, man, their life must be easy all the time. No, those ones on top of the mountain work their butts off. They have to go through so many failures. Matter of fact, they failed more times than they've ever achieved anything, but the achievements were so huge because each time they learned from that. Mm. Each time they got better for the next time. They took those times and they used it to become, I love it, Gary May writes, Dan is the mountain. Amen. That's right, Gary May. I love you, bro. That's a good one, man. And you know,
thanks,
Gary,
brother. I appreciate you.
That's another wonderful gentleman right there. I love Gary. He's a super smart, intelligent.
Gary and V, they're my dear friends. I love them to death.
Dude, the way he could pour out about his subjects that he's passionate about is just like, wow. It's like, I want to take notes the whole time. I'm thankful that I have some of it recorded so I can go back and listen to it. But no, definitely amazing person there. But seriously, you know, that's right on the money. You know, as we go, we learn, and there's no such thing as failures. Or you could think of it this way: is every time I fail, it's an opportunity for me to be better, right? And it's good. I want to fail more and more. It's kind of like the way I was taught to sell cars at the beginning, which I love, is that you're going to hear way more no's than a yes. So don't be scared of the no's. Get excited. Matter of fact, you're not a salesman until you hear a no, right? And once you hear
the
that,
more no's you get, the closer to the yes you are, right?
That 100%. Was the exactly.
That was always my thing. Wait, it gets you not so freaked out about someone saying no. You know, people get red-faced or aggravated. Why? It's an opportunity. Yeah. What did I do?
It translates to our kids too, guys. My daughter plays basketball, right? And she's like, man, you know, what if I shoot and I miss? And I go, the only shot you miss is the one you don't take.
Facts.
Come on.
Tell her.
Back to your guys' point, so many people – look at people and say, must be nice. You know, you look at a Scott Simons and you're going, that guy's crushing it. Must be nice. Oh, you know, and it's like, well, if you're saying that, maybe it's time you do a little look inside, because clearly you're not happy with where you're at. The question becomes why? I've had several conversations, you know, Dan, you can say that because look where you're, you know, look, you have a nice house. I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? I haven't forgot where I came from.
Amen.
This is the byproduct, guys. Anything that you see is the byproduct of the work.
Yes. Preach it, Dan.
Byproduct. See. Like, stop getting hung up on the materials because they come and go.
Yes.
You know, I got to say, I loved, you know, call it a reality show, poke at it however you want to. But if you haven't watched Grant or Undercover Billionaire or Grant Steele Undercover, it makes you think. And I love that because it's like, if you didn't have it, could you do it again?
Mm.
And what are the key drivers? Guys, this is byproduct. You know, my driver is my wife. She's my right hand. She doesn't get enough credit for the things she does to fuel me into doing the things that I do. So the kids, same thing. The way they look, the way they talk, the way they engage with you make you think about like, wow, if legacy isn't what I leave behind, I've already created it. It's my kids. It's what I empower them to do. My job now in life is taking all these things that I've been able to accomplish and figure out how to apply it to them to open the doors for their success.
Facts. And that is the heart of a solutionary right there, folks, where we're making sure that we are sowing the seeds that we may never eat the fruit from the tree of, right? It is so important that we keep that in our forefront. We stay intentional about that, like Dan is saying, and understanding that that legacy is being built. Let's just be real, folks. We are building some sort of a legacy one way or another, just like inside of your stores. If you don't think you have a process, you have a process. You just don't have the right process, right? And we have the chance to be able to sow seeds that build a legacy for the future. And our children are the ones who are going to reap the benefits. Our grandchildren are going to reap the benefits of it. Right now, we're sitting inside of an industry where we are reaping the benefits of seeds that were sown long ago, right? I mean, somebody really believing that this thing is going to take off. We're going to replace the horse, right? Somebody had to believe that and really keep pushing the envelope until eventually the horse was completely not even a thought for transportation, unless you're in like an Amish village or something like that, Mennonites, all that. Some of those communities keep that in action, right? But they still probably jump inside of a van from time to time to make it down to town, right? But this commodity, which is the vehicles, is more than just the product. The experience and everything that goes into the empowerment of somebody getting a vehicle takes a lot of moving parts. And there's so many different aspects in the auto industry, whether it's software, whether it's actual hardware, really building the vehicle, to maintaining the vehicle, taking care of the vehicle, and having a culture that synergizes all of that together. But if we don't...
But more importantly, there's one bigger piece.
Come on.
And it comes down to all of this. And again, I love auto. Everybody's looking for the shiny thing. And I'm just going to tell you, at the end of the day, in all of those different points you just made, the thing that makes the difference is the people. Yes. And the process.
Amen.
Nothing happens without the people and the process.
Facts. Mm-hmm.
Come on.
And for the people that own the process, if you're not constantly breaking it, then you will be broke.
Man.
Listen to that, folks.
Whoa. Put that in your cup and sip on it. Folks.
Yeah, no doubt. That's powerful.
I mean, he's dropping that.
He's a solutionary all day. He is a certified solutionary in my heart. He's speaking my language
over here.
He's speaking so much deep. He's speaking some deep stuff here, my friends. If you guys are not listening to this, you need to go back and watch this on the replay again, because I'm going to tell you, there's some powerful things being said here. And if you just implement, I promise you, if you apply a consistent basis, right, and you do it being adaptable, which is he's talking about, mm-hmm. you have to be adaptable. You have to understand things change. Every customer we deal with is a snowflake. Every dealership we walk in is different, even if they're in the same group. Every manager is not the same. But we can all be great. That doesn't mean it's bad. It's about the process. It's about the people. Now, what's their mindset? How are they going to be motivated? How are they? What's the best thing for them? You have to do those individually and spend the time being curious, like you talked about earlier, mm-hmm. spending time learning, engaging, loving, all these amazing things that we talk about, but we need to be about, and we need to keep growing like that.
People leave dealerships for said reasons, right? Mm-hmm. It's not the comp plan. Mm-hmm. It can be at times, but really it's just about the people, the process, and the culture of the business. Are you about people or are you about profit? Because if you're about the people, the profit will come.
Bring it.
The problem is that we get too focused on the profit, we forget about the people.
Man.
That's right. People over profits, relationships
over revenue. Every time.
These are the elements of a true person that is trying to grow legacy, trying to grow people around them. And I love, again, that we're touching base on some of the fundamental things, the people and the process. Because the product's going to change, right? The automotive industry right now is going through a what is everybody doing when it comes to the new type of vehicles that are coming out, the new technology, how to resource them, how to sell them. You know, manufacturers are getting involved in shifting their flow in how it is that they even sell their used product, right? So there's so much that's shaking up, but the product is going to change. And just speaking on those three P's, Marcus Lemonis even said himself that if he was to lose it all, he would jump back into the car business, right? He would get into the car business, sell some cars, and see him build it all right back up. Just like we saw Grant Cardone himself go from $100, right, to making $1 million+ business. It is possible, folks, but you have to align your heart with the right mentality of people. And that's connecting the language, right? That's making sure that we do understand what people are saying, and we build those relationships up so that we can deliver a process and we can trust it to see us all through to the end. Man, I'm loving this Bruin Solutions stuff, folks. Folks, you really need to go ahead and share this around. Dan Moore needs more people to know about what it is that he's brewing inside of the cafe today. And if you haven't got his book, Dan, tell them about how they can get a hold of you and how to get your book.
You can get a hold of me on any social profile. Email me at dan@vistadash.com. That's easy. The book is Do More, Get More. You can Google Dan Moore Roseville TEDx. You can see Is Your Why a Lie? And there's a gazillion different ways to go about it. But yeah, feel free to DM me if I can help you in any way. You know, obviously, for the dealers watching, VistaDash, we are an agnostic platform that helps you understand your marketing and standardize your marketing so you can measure it on a real measure. Because right now in the industry, everybody's got a different measurement.
Come on.
I love that. Great, great, great. I love that so much. Folks, reach out to Dan. Let him know how much you love him, how great he is, and get a little demo with him. I guarantee they can have a solution for you in your store, anywhere, any business. Hit them up, and I promise you they'll make it happen. Now, that's the right email address right there below, right? Dan at VistaDash.
You are on point, yes, sir.
Man, that's awesome. There we go. So reach out to him. Send him a message. Send him some welcomes and love and all that stuff because he deserves it. So let's get to this fifth question.
Let's get to it.
This fifth question, the five-liner is almost done. We got this fifth and final question. It's about what we've done and how hard we worked and all the things we've done, the failures we've been through. We've talked about your why. Man, I love that. I love that you're so outside the box, but yet it's right inside that box. It's actually the truth right there. It's not a lie. Is your why a lie? No, it's not. Be intentional is important. Then we talked about, of course, we talked about why you got in this business, how you got in this business, man. It's kind of in the DNA a little bit, right? We love that. But yet you had to learn the right and the wrongs, and you had mentors along the way, and you've had some – and you dropped some pretty big names out there. Those people are fantastic, but you also brought up people that maybe no one's heard of, people that you can reach out and hear. I know that I have mentors as great as you mentioned, you know, like the big people out there, but I also have people that have just been somebody that I had a conversation where all perspectives matter. I heard, I learned something. I love how you talked about that. We talked about lessons learned. We talked about failing is great, right? It's actually the best thing we can do. The more we do it, the more successful we become. Don't be deterred by that. Now let's talk about your greatest reward. Out of all the work you've put together so far, what has been the greatest reward up to this point?
Ooh, that's a good one. The greatest reward being a dad. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm a girl dad, so it's going to go there. But yeah, I mean, that's,
I love it.
It just is what it is. I mean, all the accolades in the world amount nothing to that right there. Just seeing them fly in life and how they navigate and pouring into them and just watching, again, it's just like, it's planting that flower, right? You plant the seed, you tend to the soil, you plant the seeds, you water it, you fertilize it, you watch it grow, and you watch, and then you see it bloom, and you're like, man.
I love
that's
it.
That's a reward.
It is.
That is a great reward, and I love the garden description because it is. There's so much that goes into us all growing together. And the great thing about parenthood is that we really truly find something in someone that we really care about more than ourselves, and we really get vested in, right? It's not that we're just raising them. We are investing in them. We are teaching them. And so if you don't have children, it's okay. You don't necessarily have to relate to it on the child aspect of it, but you can take somebody close to you that you care about and that you want to see do better, a colleague, a friend, right? Pouring into them something that helps them become better. You will notice that one, you'll become more fulfilled. You become then more accountable and responsible to seek out solutions that to actually have something to give, right? And being a dad made me have to feel like I needed to grow up. There's a lot I need to learn. There's a lot they're going to expect from me. There's a lot I don't have. I know that I'm found wanting, right? So a lot has to change in order for me to have it when they need it, right? My son is going to need advice one day about X, Y, and Z. I need to help him. My daughter needs to know how somebody should speak to them. I should learn how to speak better to women too, right? Even if we're not at that stage yet, we can seek out those answers if we have somebody to pour into.
100%. Now, that's my greatest. My second. Because again, guys, I mean, you want to hold it into one. Life's too big for one thing.
Bring it. Bring it.
Let's go.
But this is my second, and probably really a favorite one for me too, is seeing those that whether I've mentored or, you know, worked with exceed me or do things that are beyond the scope. When I see someone level up, that took, you know, the wisdom, and I've said this, I mean, I've had a couple of good friends, my buddy Amir, I mean, I remember this, him being a Greenpea, and I said, listen, if you listen to what I say, I guarantee you, you will accelerate past me faster than me. And by the time you're my age, you will be sitting in a better spot than I am. And when you see that, or you know, grow your team and unfortunately they leave you. Cause again, I mean, sometimes people just outgrow the company and it happens. But it's the one thing I embrace. I'm not afraid of losing people. I want to see them grow. If you leave and you take a lateral or a down, then we did something wrong. But if you're exceeding and you're changing your family's life because you're getting a better payday, you're investing, you're starting something up, whatever it might be, man, I celebrate that. And yes, that to me is a great reward.
It's huge.
Man, that's the type of leadership that so many car guys and car gals are praying that they find inside of this industry, right? As we recruit those that are coming into this industry to join our ranks, we want leaders like that. Now, you said that was number two, so I'm hoping that you got a third in there for us of another great reward that you would like to share with all of those car guys and car gals that are brewing solutions with us today.
Number three is just personal. Mm-hmm. And that's just beating me every day. Can I beat myself every day? And those rewards just keep coming because every day I have a couple setbacks. I'm not saying I win every day. There's been some losses. Uh-huh. But – you know, when I look back, the wins of just beating myself and leveling up and trying to figure out how to be better, not from a financial point, man, it's beating yourself. It's, you know, taking the 75-hour challenge on and saying, do you have the mental aptitude to do it? It's, you know, paying attention to how you invest with people and seeing them, you know, investing in them, see them succeed. Those things of like, are you, you know, giving? Are you of a giving mindset? Are you, you know, again, there's so many things. I mean, I still challenge the health thing, man, you know, mm-hmm. like, I feel like at some point in time, you know, I'll get all ripped and jacked, but I haven't quite figured that one out yet. Call it my biggest fail. But from the mental side of like just the consumption of knowledge and growth, man, it's been a fun ride. And that for me is one of my rewards of just stretching myself.
Oh, love that. There's something you said on the measurements, right? Getting the measurements down and our rewards, we weigh those out too is, and we compartmentalize that these are some of our greatest trophies, right? Our greatest wins. And I believe that money so many times can be the distractor of whether or not we have the true measurement of success, right? Especially last year in the automotive industry, there was a lot of money made and it didn't really mean that there was a lot of actual growth inside of our processes, inside of our team. We were distracted by the I wouldn't say the facade. I mean, the money is why we're all at work, but there's sometimes that money can get in and distract us from the true growth and the actual measurement of what success is. And we do pride ourselves in not measuring everything by the money. We love the relationships. We really, really do. We feel really rich with people that we can speak to, that we can pull from, that we can learn from, that we can pour into. And I believe that there is a shift inside of the industry where we are getting a different taste of what measurements the actual recipe for success looks like. You know, and this is awesome and awesome to hear you saying that you are kicking off this season perfectly, Fred. I mean, he is doing.
And I love the fact that you use measurement because I think that is the so I've struggled with that one for the longest time. And you ask and pose the greatest question, measurement, right? People think measurement's your bank account, the number of cars you have, the number of shoes you have, because it's tangible. We can hold it.
Sure.
It's no different than a lot of things that talking about is that it becomes. You know, somebody's going to watch this and be like, yo, that's all fine and great. This guy's just another, you know, chatty head that says a bunch of stuff and yeah, yeah, yeah. But the reality of it is because it's hard to make these types of things tangible because it's the byproduct that you don't measure.
That's it.
You think that the money is the measurement. It's not. It's the byproduct. The measurement is, are you pushing yourself each and every day? The first measurement is, can I get up and look in the mirror and be happy with the reflection I see? Check yes or no.
Yeah.
And that's a tough measurement.
It is.
If we're being honest, right? And so everybody's like, yeah, I'm not listening to this dude because that's reality talking to me.
No, put it in the cup. Let's go. If they need some sugar, so, you can put it in their own cup.
So you get there, right? That's step one. And if you're not if you answer no that day, then you need to write down what it is you're not happy about.
That's it.
Come on.
And goals. I mean, we all write down goals and we think those are measurements. Well, if you write those goals and you never hit them, they're just dreams.
That's it.
Because a goal without action will forever just be a dream.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Wishes and hopes.
Yep. So you have to have a strategy to goals. Goals aren't easy. No. So I always say if you want to move the field goal line for you, you start out with simple ones. I mean, I love it. The admiral that got up and did the whole thing. I make my bed every morning. I accomplished a goal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Start small.
Start small. But it also equates to life. The problem is everybody's chasing the monumental win. Hey, I'm going to go invest in cryptocurrency because I'm going to hit the big one. Mm. Hey, think about what we do as a mindset instead of going, hey, if I add up every small win, it equates to a great win.
Heck yes.
And I think I would rather do that if I really look at everything. Because again, I chase the big stuff and I still have my big lofty goals. Mm-hmm. And they're big. But I realized though, when I leveled it down and I created just multiple, and I look back and go, man, what a great win.
Yes.
Because all of these little things happened.
That's it. You know, I love that. And you know, just to touch that really quick is, because top of mind is, you know, as we have those things, we talked earlier and we said, you know, what did we learn from wins? And what we learn is confidence. And what we learn is how we got there. What we remember is that whole point you said at the very beginning. We never forgot all the stuff we did to get that win. So what did we learn? We learned that by failing and learning, we can win. By failing and learning and trying to be better, the wins are even better than they were if we just got lucky. It's a fact. It's truth. Even like he said, even the small ones end up feeling that way because you pay attention to them. And when you can do that, and you can do that on a consistent basis, the small ones turn into big ones. Next thing you know, you are accomplishing more than you can imagine. All this byproduct that he's talking about, it pours in your lap, and you start pouring into others. You start giving to others. You're able to give more to your community. You're able to do so many things, but it takes work. Faith without works is dead, dude. Hands down.
And everybody forgets where everybody came from. Anybody That's remember good. Where Grant came from?
Oh, he's purpose. Oh, yeah.
Everybody goes, I'm going to sign up to be Gary and Grant today. They get on social media and think they just checked the box on winning.
Dude, they've been doing it forever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's taken them a long
Grant
time.
Grant was a trainer going door to door to every dealership in the country.
Yeah.
And now he's a real estate titan.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
And he's also
I look up to
an investor in multiple companies. He's diversified.
Yes, mm-hmm. He is.
So you guys have to take the blueprint of what the successful people are doing, the Grants, the Warren Buffetts, and all of that. If you take the principles of everything they do, which has to do with they are invested across multiple platforms, multiple things, mm-hmm. and start looking at your life and that same thing. How are you investing, right? Where are you putting all of your energy? If you're putting it into one thing, well, it could be tricky because what if mm-hmm. that one thing goes wrong? Right. Are you investing in multiple different aspects of what you do in life? Love because it. Life is about ROI. You think about a relationship's about ROI. The energy I put in to the energy I want back has to pencil, right?
100%.
It doesn't matter if I give more or less. It's just I want to see an ROI on the investment.
Mm. It's true. I mean, folks, we've broke down many different parables here on this show. And there is one of the talents and what it is that you get. Are you going to be faithful to invest it, put it to where it can actually gain interest or create more than what it has? Or are you going to take it and you're going to bury it, right? What it is that you have, you only have so much time and resources to sow. How well are you going to steward those things? And Vincent Van Gogh said, great things are done by a series of small things done together. Mm. It's not all just one big thing, right? Because if it's one big thing that brought you there, it could be just one thing that knocked you out of there, right? But if you build many legs on this table, you have many chances of it riding through the storm, taking it through the actual shaking of the world around it. It can stand way easier, but there are many things that help for us to stand up together. And especially when we fuse those together with people. One can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. When we are 100%. Together as a team, we
and that is a beautiful thing about people too. You're, mm-hmm. I mean, you couldn't be more dead on that statement because the jack of all is master of none.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But if you start bringing people into that equation,
mm-hmm.
you can master a heck of a lot more.
That's it.
So true.
And they amplify true. You know? That's what's so beautiful about partnerships and teaming up and teamwork and why we always hear those terms. Teamwork makes a dream work. Right. Really, it does.
It does.
So. But it goes back to my, you know, that's a great one you bring up too in this industry. We do that one's like one of those things of like, hey, we've talked, but I've seen little action.
Facts.
Right.
Fact.
If companies would focus more on true partnerships, integrations, mm-hmm. open APIs, things that actually benefit the mm-hmm. industry.
Yep.
Companies like Carvana wouldn't exist.
Yes, you're 100%. You're so right.
the dealer would win. The problem is everybody wants to selfishly win, whether that's I'm building a company to sell a company and I'm creating these walls because it only stays in this, or, hey, I want to control my stake in the world because I'm a big player and I've been around here a long time and I don't want to let anybody in.
Right.
Instead of trying to figure out, like, hey, how do you work together?
Yeah.
I say this all the time. I don't plan on building everything at Vista. I would rather partner, stay in my swim lane of what we've perfected, what we know, where our strength is, and partner with other pieces to complement and grow the product.
Love that. That is called digital transformation. That is called everybody coming together. That's what other markets, other industries do. We're in the automotive, we really fight each other. He's so right on that. Mm-hmm. Every vendor is like, oh, this is my magic. I don't want no one to know about my magic. Instead, if these two can come together, share each other's ideas, become something even greater, make this industry even better, and provide the dealers what they really need instead of a little bit. My company could do this better than them on this, but I can't. They could do that. How about join? And now you have
or to your point, OEM and middleman sit there and tell the dealer what they can and can't do. So I can't have a Carvana experience. You know why? Because, I'm not allowed to because my website provider has to be X, Y, or Z. Mm-hmm. And then my chat provider has to be this. My paid search company has to be approved through this program. Yeah. My DMS can only do this because that's my DMS. And when you start looking at all the different pieces, the dealer's like a zero-sum game.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
So difficult.
But hey, can you go ahead and update your building? Because we have a new idea.
Right.
I love it, Dan. You're so right on the money on that.
For real, though.
Crazy.
I'm not making any friends, I'm sure, on that statement. But at the end of the day, I'm like, I'm still a dealer car guy at heart, man. It's like, enough's enough. What needs to change in the industry is that. We need to set the playing field, hit reset, and create an ecosystem that benefits everyone.
Everyone would benefit. And you know, and you're like you said, you want to talk about an opportunity for, maybe you don't see the monetary value of it right this moment, but you give it time and let those seeds germinate. You let those seeds grow and get watered. The harvest would be huge.
Mm-hmm.
And it would throw away the Carvanas, the Vrooms. They wouldn't even be a question. Customers would be happier. Our management, everything that you can imagine from the bottom of the top, people cleaning cars all the way up to whatever you want to say, executives, the CEOs of all these big companies, OEMs, they would be happier because it would be smooth. Everybody knows what to expect, how to do it, and it would be transparent and easy for everyone. Mm-hmm. And man, what a world that would be.
Well, it goes to your whole point to solutionaries,
yes,
right?
Sir.
Like if you really think about it, there's a lot of noise in this industry. I mean, I have several different jokes. Some are good and bad, but again, every 3 seconds, pick your poison. A consultant or a celebrity is born, and they know more than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And they pull on the Band-Aid. But the problem is that the dealer's still bleeding. They've never stitched it. They just put Band-Aid on it.
Come on.
So that's what it is.
So many times is a product that's sold to a culture that can't use it. Right? And that's
there's a lot of pieces.
Yes. So much inside of that. Man, he is saying some incredible stuff. So car guys and car gals, whether you knew this or not, this solutionary inside of this cafe and on this episode, our friend Dan Moore is 100%
CGC approved.
So bam, car guys and car gals, he's got that stamp right there because he is speaking like a solutionary.
Dude. And this show was fire. I mean, you're talking about, we didn't just talk about a problem. We threw solutions at you all. This is what solutionaries do. Folks, I hope you guys took your cup, poured it out, and was ready for a full brew of this amazing special brew that we dropped for you guys today.
Get the replay.
Hit that replay.
Get you some more of that.
Dump that cup and get you a fresh cup, man, because this is some amazing stuff. Now, we got my man Matt Damos talking about most people operate from scarcity mindset rather than an optimistic mindset.
Opportunistic
mindset. And that is truth, Matt. 100%. That's one of my mentors. When I talk about mentors, that's one of my greatest ones right there.
There wouldn't be no Car Guy Coffee if there wasn't a Matt Damos that believed in us too.
That's right.
Crazy car guys trying to brew solutions and go against the grain. Just like our friend, the one,
the only, Dan Moore.
I am Lou Ramirez.
Thank you, guys.
And I'm Fred Lenarts, the subprime hero.
And you have been brewing solutions on the Car Guy Coffee podcast. Thank you so much, Dan Moore. Make sure that you do reach out to him. Blow him up. Let him know if you appreciated this episode. Let him know what it is that you got from it because he poured a whole lot inside of that cup. And if you didn't get the chance to sip it all up, go back, listen to the replay. You can also get more by going to carguycoffee.com. But we appreciate you, Dan. Thank you so much for setting off this new season of Brewing Solutions with the best. Brother, we appreciate you. We will meet you backstage. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us today. We will see you later. Keep Brewing Solutions. Upshift, uplift.
Forgive, focus, and fly, folks. Keep growing.
See you all soon.